Chapter 4. The One Path to Liberation. If you were to begin applying the autonomous method, which lies concealed in the gnosis, you would be free from sorrow and grief during your life's course through the nature of death. The method we have been describing can be called autonomous because it has to be carried out without help and without the supervision of authorities, and only then can it lead to success. It is the method of non-attachment, which is accompanied by Gnostic soul rebirth. You will then be able to follow your path to the end, without sorrow and without grief. For, as Hermes says, sorrow and grief are part of evil, and only by applying the one method of liberation will you be able to participate in the radiations of the only good. We distinguish seven aspects in this radiative plenitude and speak of the Holy Seven Spirit. The Seven Spirit tells us in a way that can actually be experienced of the glory of the only good. Neither sorrow nor grief are to be found in its radiation. Sorrow and grief always result from the activities of creatures who, not knowing the way of liberation, exploit each other from day to day, bound as they are by the laws of the nature of death. The originators of the Hermetic philosophy were able to deduce the characteristics of the only good from the nature of the Seven Spirit. If you were to be struck by the radiations of the Seven Spirit in a positive sense, you would have the same experience as Hermes Trismegistus. That is why, when speaking of the only good, he testifies that there is nothing stronger than he that might be able to wage war against him, nor is it in keeping with his nature that indignity might be brought upon him. Nothing excels him in beauty and thus arouses him to the love of the senses. Nothing can deny him obedience and thus move him to anger. There is nothing wiser than he which could thus arouse his covetousness. As none of these emotions is to be found in the all-being, there is nothing in him other than the good, and fast as none of the other characteristics can occur in such a being, likewise the good cannot be found in anyone else. Consequently, for the seeking person who yearns for a solution, there is only one way out, to form a link with the only good. As concerns success for those who seek liberation, all other paths are fundamentally and absolutely closed. Understand well that everything is freely available to you. Thousands of voices are clamoring, come with us, follow our path. But even should you still have the time to follow all these paths, you would eventually discover that there is but one way out, and that is to form a link with the only good. That is why the point of view from which we proceed as a spiritual school has always remained, in essence, very simple over the years. Non-attachment, self-surrender, to the rose of the heart, rebirth of the soul, and rebirth by the soul. The living body of the young gnosis is like a well-constructed ark. In the ark of which the Old Testament tells, and about which we are informed by the Egyptian mysteries, all genuine values and forces of spirit, soul, and matter were to be found secure and well-preserved. As you have been admitted as a pupil into the living body of the young gnosis and know the aim towards which our ark must sail in these times, it will be clear why the modem gnosis has to dissociate itself from everything that exists in the field of ordinary creation. If it were to take an opposite stance, this would contradict the principle of non-attachment. There is but one path to liberation, the link with the only good. All other paths, however beautiful they may appear to be, are negative in their results. People have often resented the fact of the school's dissociation from sectarianism, and scorn has been aroused. However, the school's separatism is only maintained with respect to those people and groups who seek their salvation in the dialectical field of creation and who use the name of the only good solely as a flag to cover the cargo. With respect to the absolute, separatism, of course, cannot be applied. That would be impossible because anyone who walks the path to the only good enters into soul birth, and the result of that is always unity with every other soul. So should there be groups of striving people who are walking the same path of liberation, they will find each other at the allotted time without any possibility of error. Then the weak will always gladly join with the strong in the certain knowledge that they will not be exploited. The facts have proved over the years that the modern spiritual school has always followed this hermetic path, and what began so modestly is now growing rapidly. We do not mean to boast by saying this. We make the observation solely because the school's course of development proves the truth of the hermetic path. He who seeks the only good in a state of non-attachment will always overcome. We very much hope that you will realize clearly that the power to do so is present in the only good. So if, as an apparently isolated wanderer in these earthly fields, you are able to form a link with the only good, you will be stronger than one who conquers a city. He who seeks the only good in non-attachment will always overcome. And so we state again, following the text of the 10th book, just as there is no evil in the divine being, so the good cannot be found in any other being. All the other qualities occur in all beings, in the small as well as in the large, in each of them in a specific way, and even in the world the greatest and most powerful in all manifested life, for all that has been created is full of suffering, because Genesis itself involves suffering. Among other things, this means that no creature that has been born of the will of man by the process of reproduction possesses the only good. Only the other one can do that. The animal state can have no part in the only good. Only the soul is capable of that. The soul does not originate from the animal state. When a child is born, this does not automatically mean that it will possess a soul. What the philosophy of the modern spiritual school refers to as soul birth or soul rebirth is the awakening of something that already exists. Such a birth can therefore not be transmitted to others by the process of reproduction. Neither can you force your child to live out of the soul. You can only influence your children to the good by your own very personal example. So the power to awaken the soul cannot be extracted from the nature of death. The reproductive urge is an astral force. It is a fire that communicates itself to the heart. That is why people speak of the passions of the heart. Passion, in the sense we mean, is not something perverse. No, it is simply a statement of natural law that every birth in nature is the result of passion, of astral concentrations in the heart sanctuary. That is why Hermes says in verse 4 of the 10th book, "Where there is suffering, the good is certainly absent. Where the good is, there is certainly no suffering whatsoever. Wherever day is, there is no night, and wherever night is, there is no day." That is why the good cannot dwell in what has been created, but only in the non-created. To prevent any misunderstanding, it is impossible for the good to dwell in what has been born. The good dwells only in the only begotten. Perhaps you are finding all this difficult to understand and maybe even more difficult to accept. Surely Hermes and Asclepius and all the great ones and all those striving in the Rosy Cross were also born of passion. Surely if it were not for passion, not a single microcosm would be able to incarnate in this field of existence. So how can Hermes fulminate against it? He is not fulminating, only making a statement. These words explain what he means. But since all matter participates in the non-created, it is also part of the good. In this sense, the wood is good, insofar as it likewise brings forth all things it is, as such, good. But in all other respects, it is not good, being also subject to suffering, unchangeable, and the mother of creatures subject to suffering. By this Hermes means that there is a plan to keep fallen mankind in manifestation in the astral field of the nature of death. Various kingdoms of nature are concerned with this plan. Think, for instance, of the mineral, plant, and animal kingdoms, which are so intimately connected with the human kingdom. The foundations of the plan to provide fallen microcosms with new possibilities for manifestation and thus new opportunities for liberation are in fact absolutely good, for they stem from the divine plan for the salvation of the world and mankind. But the functions, the expressions of the plan must necessarily be carried out via the nature-born creature. Thus the processing of maintaining the various kingdoms of nature and their cooperation, as well as the initial results, have nothing to do with the only good. You should see it in this way. When a child is born and stands at the entrance to life's path, it has various possibilities of liberation. Naturally, these can be called good in a certain sense, but even so, they have nothing to do with the absolute, with the only good. To think that man could simply be good, as has been thought in certain idealistic circles, is an illusion, a dream which Hermes immediately destroys. He says, "Human standards of goodness are obtained by comparison with evil. For what is not evil beyond measure is here considered to be good, and what here is held to be good is the smallest part of evil. Therefore it is impossible here for what is good to be free from contamination by evil. What is good here is affected by evil and, thus, ceases to be good. Thus, this good deteriorates into evil." Imagine that you do something nice, something good, in the ordinary sense. Who is to say that you will still be doing good in an hour's time? And imagine that you are in the temple and that at a particular moment you take the decision to walk the path. That would be a good decision. But could you be certain that in an hour's time you would not have forgotten your good decision? Do you see that such a decision does not derive from the only good? Your good decision is connected with the forces of antithesis and, perhaps today, perhaps tomorrow, may turn into evil. So then you might adopt the following point of view. When I was in the temple, I was in a state of euphoria, and now I prefer simply to concern myself with the concrete aspects of dialectical existence. As Hermes says, all our so-called good is subject to change, and if your good decision is not straight away applied to serving the soul, it will immediately turn into its opposite. Good in nature always invokes its opposite. That is why things are so difficult for you. At one moment, you are full of good intentions. The next moment, you are drowning, as it were, in the opposite. What is good here is affected by evil and thus ceases to be good, Hermes observes laconically. And then verse 6 gives the judgment with hermetic precision. In men, Asclepius, the good can be found only in name, but nowhere as a reality. In fact, that is impossible, for the good cannot find a place in a material body, which on all sides is stifled by afflictions and arduous exertion, grief and desire, passion and delusion, and images of the senses. So there is a dividing line sharp as a razor. In you and in us there is one tiny possibility that at best can be called the smallest part of evil. This minute possibility, this power, diminishes in size and strength as the years go by. You must use this smallest part of evil, this fleeting possibility, as long as you still have it, for self-surrender, in order to awaken the soul, so that another life may arise which can withdraw from the pool of death. If you do not grasp this opportunity, your entire personality will associate itself increasingly with the manifestations of evil, whatever you may do to avoid it. The whole of your life will then be and remain filled with wearisome exertions, with plagues, sorrows, and desires in myriad forms. and the urges, delusions, and misconceptions of the senses will entangle you in all kinds of trouble. How many snares have you been caught in already? How much suffering and sorrow is already your share? Use your opportunity then, as long as you still have it. One, if you do not, then the end of your life's song will be that you can no longer understand the liberating idea Hermes transmitted to Asclepius. Who is to say, when the last tiny spark of a possibility of liberating action has been extinguished in a human being, therefore, make use of your time